Picture a world where reading this article after dark would cost you 6 hours of work. That was 1800. Today, it costs half a second. Yet if you scroll through your newsfeed, you'd think civilization is collapsing. Here's a radical thought. What if the constant drumbeat of doom is wrong? What if humanity isn't spiraling toward catastrophe, but quietly thriving in ways we've forgotten to notice? The gap between our perception and reality has never been wider. Despite living in the most prosperous moment in human history, we're convinced we're doomed. This isn't just pessimism, it's a fundamental misunderstanding of what makes us human. Since 1800, world population multiplied 6 times. You'd expect catastrophe, right? Instead, average life expectancy more than doubled, and real income rose 9-fold. In just the last 50 years, the average human earns 3 times more, eats 1/3 more calories, and lives 1/3 longer than in 1955. But here's what really matters: time. The true measure of prosperity isn't money, it's how many hours you work to acquire something.
What makes humans different isn't our big brains. Neanderthals had those too. It's exchange. When we started trading, ideas began to mate. Your computer mouse is the offspring of thousands of innovations from thousands of minds. Material science, ergonomic design, optical sensors, manufacturing techniques. Compare that to a stone hand axe used virtually unchanged for over 1 million years. The difference? Ideas stayed isolated, unable to reproduce. Prosperity comes from human exchange networks. When a software engineer in Mumbai solves a problem that helps a farmer in Iowa, who buys equipment that employs a factory worker in Vietnam, who sends money home that educates a child who becomes a doctor, that's ideas having sex. More connections mean faster innovation. It's exponential, not linear. Specialization is the magic ingredient. You produce one thing while consuming thousands, the hallmark of a high standard of living. Self-sufficiency isn't virtue. It's poverty wearing a noble mask.
That Paris to Bordeaux journey once consumed a clerk's monthly salary. Now it's pocket change. Milk requires 30% less working time than in 1970. Even robber barons spread prosperity by making things cheaper. Vanderbilt slashed rail fares. Carnegie cut steel prices by 75%. Rockefeller reduced oil costs by 80%. The average American now spends just $37 of every $100 on food, clothing, and shelter, down from 76 in 1900. Louis XIV had 498 servants preparing his meals. You have thousands working for you through the market system, without conquering anyone. Here's something surprising. People most immersed in commerce are the most generous. In the ultimatum game, tribal societies with least market experience made the smallest offers. Those integrated into markets typically offered half. Commerce teaches that enlightened self-interest lies in cooperation. Among 127 countries studied, those with greater economic freedom had 4 times the income and nearly double the growth rate.
Every product you use embodies knowledge from countless innovators, from television pioneers to Neolithic farmers. This collective brain distributes knowledge across society rather than concentrating it in any single mind. You don't need to know how your phone works to use it. Someone in Taiwan knows semiconductors, someone in California knows software, someone in China knows assembly. Their specialized knowledge serves you. This interdependence isn't weakness, it's strength. When wheat prices tripled in 2006-08, nobody starved. In pre-railway Europe, similar price spikes turned people into refugees. Today's global trade networks spread risk and prevent local shortages from becoming catastrophes. This collective intelligence emerged around 65,000 years ago when a small group left Africa. As humans spread, technological innovation accelerated dramatically. By 45,000 years ago, they produced 10 times more cutting edge from the same rock. By 34,000 years ago, they crafted bone needles and spear points. Evidence of long-distance trade appeared. Black Sea shells and Baltic amber found at Ukrainian sites 18,000 years ago.
Unlike Neanderthals, who used only local materials, these humans exchanged goods over vast distances. Trade became the catalyst for advancement, generating more invention between 80,000 and 20,000 years ago than in the previous million years. When Malthus predicted in 1798 that food couldn't keep pace with population, he couldn't foresee Norman Borlaug. Facing 1960s famine, India adopted Borlaug's dwarf wheat varieties, developed from Japanese seeds with a mutation making plants shorter and more productive, which tripled yields. By 1974, India became a net wheat exporter. This intensive farming spared wilderness. Maintaining 1961 yields while feeding 6 billion people in 1998 would have required additional land the size of South America. Modern precision agriculture, using GPS guidance, drone monitoring, and sophisticated irrigation, continues producing more food on less land while reducing environmental impact. Cities drive this progress through trade and specialized labor. Peru's Norte Chico civilization lacked ceramics and cereals. Trade drove urbanization, as coastal settlements harvested fish while interior towns grew cotton for nets. Cities represent liberation. Modern Indian women leave rural villages for Mumbai slums to escape drudgery and family control. By 2008, over half the world lived in cities. Not tragedy, but progress. Two-thirds of economic growth happens in urban areas where people use less space, less energy, and impact ecosystems less than rural populations. Since 1800, we've discovered increasing returns. The more knowledge we generate, the more we can generate. Unlike material resources, ideas multiply when shared. As Thomas Jefferson noted, "You can light your taper at my candle without darkening me." Innovation has spread throughout history, from West Asia to Mesopotamia to India to China to Italy to England to America to Japan. The modern world's power comes from gigantic interconnectedness, ideas having sex with increasing promiscuity. Technologies emerge from combining existing technologies into wholes greater than their parts. Henry Ford simply assembled discoveries of other men, behind whom were centuries of work. By 2100, technologies we cannot conceive will be commonplace. Intelligence will become more collective, innovation more bottom-up, work more specialized. Doctors face informed patients. Journalists adjust to self-curating readers. Manufacturers respond to custom consumers. The flame of innovation will be difficult to extinguish in our networked world. Trust in modern society extends miraculously to unknown shopkeepers through invisible guarantors, sealed packaging, warranties, brands, and currency. The internet has proven remarkably effective at enabling trust through simple feedback mechanisms. Despite humanity's progress, pessimism dominates discourse. Predicting catastrophe earns acclaim, while suggesting improvement invites ridicule. The pessimist's fundamental error is extrapolationism, assuming the future is merely a bigger past without accounting for human innovation. From 1875 to 1925, while living standards soared with electricity and vaccines, intellectuals obsessed over imminent decline. Africa exemplifies untapped potential. Cairo requires 14 years to acquire legal building plots, forcing millions to build illegally. This creates trillions in dead capital, savings that can't secure loans. Yet Africa's cities teem with entrepreneurs who would flourish if bureaucratic barriers fell. The 21st century will see expanding catalaxy, spontaneous order created through exchange and specialization. So long as human exchange thrives somewhere, culture evolves, whether leaders help or hinder. Your life is built on innovations of billions before you, and your ideas will light candles for billions after. That's not naive optimism. That's rational recognition of humanity's greatest superpower.